letting some air out of the silver bubble.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Jeremy Hobson. The price of silver has tumbled more than 12% in the past 2 days after a big run-up in the last couple of years. And the tumble is not because the precious metal has lost its shine. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall Genzer joins us now live with more on the silver story. Good morning, Nancy.
Good morning, Jeremy.
Well, first of all, tell us why the price of silver has dropped so much.
Well, silver traders have to borrow money to back the trades they're making. They leave that money with a broker. And a few days ago, the exchanges started raising the amount of money that has to be set aside. Translating that, Jeremy, in trader speak, that's called the margin requirement. Mm-hmm. In fact, one exchange raised margin requirements 3 times in just a week. And some traders just couldn't put up the cash, so they had to sell. Others decided to sell while the price was high.
Well, I'm sure some people are unhappy if they're losing money on this deal, but is anyone happy that the exchanges have stepped in to burst what some have been calling a silver bubble?
Some people are. They say the exchanges are helping to stabilize the silver market. The margin requirements are one way the exchanges have to cool off the market. I talked with a trader in London about this, Jonah Remington Hobbs of FastMarkets.com, and he told me he wasn't surprised that people were selling. He says he expects the trading of silver to be rocky.
With prices running up so high in such a quick space of time, we're always expecting to see profit taking coming from silver. It's a very volatile metal anyway.
And some people are still holding on to silver, Jeremy. They see it as a hedge against inflation.
Marketplace's Nancy Marshall Genzer in Washington. Thanks, Nancy.
You're welcome.
Well, now to Capitol Hill. There's a hearing today looking into the security of online data following the 2 recent hacking incidents involving Sony's PlayStation Network. Hackers stole personal information from tens of millions of the network's users, but Sony won't be sending anyone to today's hearing. And Marketplace's John Dimsdale reports the company's absence will only increase calls to punish online companies that lose their customers' data.
Some lawmakers want to make companies use the latest technology to keep hackers out. But Carnegie Mellon computer science professor David Farber says laws can't keep up with technology.
I hate to see the Congress start dabbling, saying that you must encrypt files. What do I encrypt it in? Strong encryption? What's strong encryption?
Farber says Congress should direct companies that lose sensitive data to automatically contact credit rating agencies. But Larry Poneman doesn't think regulation is the answer. He runs an online security research firm. He says consumers have choices beyond Sony.
I think the Wii and the Xbox will be preferred, all things being equal, simply because of the data breach.
The market, he says, will punish companies that lose data all by itself. In Washington, I'm John Dimsdale for Marketplace.
We're about to find out how many layoffs were announced last month. That'll give economists some idea of what to expect from Friday's big Labor Department employment report. That's the one where we find out how many jobs were added in April and what the new unemployment rate is. And let's do the numbers. Stocks are mixed right now across Europe and Asia. The country's largest cable company, Comcast, which now owns NBC Universal, made almost $1 billion last quarter. That's up 9% from the same period last year. Comcast says it lost 39,000 video subscribers, but it added almost 500,000 internet customers. On Wall Street yesterday, the Dow finished exactly where it started, 12,807.
By Novo Nordisk, since 1923, committed to diabetes care and areas of unmet medical needs at novonordisk-us.com. And by LendingTree, providing up to 4 loan offers from a network of lenders. Learn more at LendingTree.com or 1-800-555-8733. Marketplace Entrepreneurship Reporting is supported by Farmers Insurance, trained local agents committed to small business success. More at 1-866-200-4BIZ.
Just west of Minneapolis, where I-494 meets Highway 169, they are taking down the stoplights and putting in a roundabout. It's just the latest example of a growing trend in suburbs around the country. The goal is to cut down on traffic congestion as well as accidents. And as Tony Arnold reports now from Chicago Public Radio, one village in Illinois is hoping a new roundabout will serve as the cornerstone for new commercial development.
When you hear the word roundabout, you might think of a huge multi-lane traffic circle, the kind Chevy Chase gets stuck in National Lampoon's European Vacation.
It's amazing. I cannot get left.
It's Big Ben Kids Parliament.
But the recipe for a typical roundabout these days is a little different. Take an average four-way intersection. Insert four yield signs, add a round patch of grass in the middle, and voila. Over the last 20 years, about 2,500 roundabouts have cropped up around the U.S.
I'm Amy Connolly, planning director for the Village of Tinley Park.
Connolly's been given the task of developing Tinley Park for the foreseeable future, and part of that future includes a new roundabout funded by a $2 million grant. It's planned for an intersection meant to connect drivers from the nearby highway to the downtown area. Connolly says it'll help clear the traffic jams that clog the intersection now, and she says it will allow construction of a new commercial development without adding extra congestion. It's also intended to make the area more pedestrian-friendly.
We sort of drive on autopilot these days, but things like roundabouts really force you to sort of slow down and think about what you're doing, and that makes for a safer intersection.
On a recent afternoon, Connolly drives me to South Holland, two towns over. There we find a model for the Tinley Park roundabout. She says municipalities like roundabouts because they cut down on the electricity costs of running stoplights, and insurance groups show there are fewer serious accidents. But the real trick could be getting local residents on board. Dave Burke lives by the South Holland roundabout and is unimpressed.
It doesn't slow the traffic down. Nobody knows how to use it.
Not unlike Chevy Chase, who needs a whole day to finally figure out that traffic circle in London. In Chicago, I'm Tony Arnold from Marketplace.
And finally, to gas prices. If you think $4 a gallon is bad, what about $6 a gallon? That is now the most expensive gas in the nation in the small town of Hana on the Hawaiian island of Maui. A gallon of regular unleaded gas there will run you $6.03. On the flip side, the average temperature in Hana is 79.9 degrees. In Los Angeles, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. And this is APM, American Public Media.
Many would love to see organic farming become the way of the future, but for all the upsides, if it happened, there could be downsides as well.
If you ask me point blank whether organic or organic-based farming is better than conventional, my answer is no.
I'm Tess Vigeland, organic farming and global food demand, next time on Marketplace from APM, American Public Media.